Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your weekend preview for the RSM Classic. Joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. What up, Greg?
Here we go. A little Friday night recap. We got some interesting names up top. I'm looking forward to breaking it down.
Oh, there are some names at the top of the leaderboard. Kyle Porter also here, coming all the way from the Take Shed. What up, KP?
I'm good. There's some interesting names missing the cut as well. So yeah. Maybe even some of our one and done guys. Yeah, we got a lot to get to.
Yeah, I don't know how else to put this into perspective, but I was telling Greg before we went live here that like the amount of DraftKings lineups that got all six golfers through this week is less than 1%, which it's usually like, you know, at least 10%. Like, it's hard to do, but it is an absolute bloodbath. So a lot of the most popular golfers failing to make the cut this week. So that, if that's any indication, that shows you where we're at this time. Also, Roberto Streb, Bob Streb, Robert Streb, Robbie Streb, whatever you want to call him, at the top of the leaderboard, 14 under and two shots clear of his closest chaser, Camilo Villegas. Greg, we'll start with you. 65 at the Seaside course on Thursday, 63 at the Plantation course on Friday. No birdies and zero bogeys, a career low round of 63 here on Friday.
He's kind of running away with it, right? It's far from over, as we know, but you start to look at, when you get to that number, you eliminate players. You start to eliminate other players on the leaderboard, and it's, you start doing some math, and if he just, he's in control. He's in that place where like Dustin Johnson got to during the Masters on Sunday, where you take care of par fives and you're going to be really hard to catch. And that's kind of where Robert Streb has gotten to. You don't have a lot of guys really close. It's not really bunched, and it's up to him now. So this is where pressure really starts to build, but you only have six guys, I guess five other players within four shots of the lead. So it's a pretty nice lead. That's incredible play.
His last PGA Tour victory was, I'm double checking to make sure I'm right, this event in 2015 season, 2014 year, I believe it was. That's his last PGA Tour victory. He has a Korn Ferry Tour victory since then, 2 years ago in 2018. But Kyle, I mean, this guy's got one top 10 finish in like his last 35 starts. We've seen him pop up from time to time, but it is very few and far between.
Yeah, he's actually got, I was looking at this, three top 10s over the last 2 years. Two of them are at the Barracuda and one is a Korn Ferry event. Yeah. So, you know, I know both courses aren't lasered, only one of them is, but he gained like, I think, five strokes putting on the course that's lasered.
Yeah.
So long way to go. And he's got some guys behind him that we'll talk about that are hitting the ball pretty well. You know, some Bern Weisberger, some Shane Lowry, you know, guys that are pretty far back. But again, this is a very scoreable course on the weekend. So I don't know that I like Bobby Streb, but I don't know that I would be riding for him to run away with this event.
I love a good Bernd Wiesberger mention right at the top of the show. Before we get too far, you got to bring up the old Bernd. It is interesting, Greg. So we talked about this on the Monday show. The Seaside course is the only one that has the shot link data. So what Kyle's referencing is Robert Streb gains 4.6 strokes putting on Thursday. That's one of the best rounds of his career. There's another guy we're going to talk about in a second who also had quite a good putting day on Thursday. But I mean, he's Streb is who I'm referring to here, playing the par fours at 8 under this week. There's a lot of them out there, and that's a good way to get it done. Par four score.
He also, on the course, I get these two a little bit mixed up, but anyway, on the course that's not lasered, he hit 17 of 18 greens. So while you look at that putting number and it jumps off the page as you, and you say, well, okay, that may not be sustainable. Well, you have a guy that is hit, on the other course, he hits 10 of 14 fairways, 17 of 18 greens. It's a sign of somebody who's swinging really well. The scores would absolutely indicate that. You shoot 65, 63, something's going well. But going back to the, it's the Seaside course, right? They're going back to the Seaside course for the rest of the
correct
week. So he'll be back there. And if he can take some of that momentum, into tomorrow, into the weekend, from a ball striking perspective, he's going to be in really good shape. And the other thing that I'll be watching is what happens with the wind, because that round Thursday, to shoot 65 out there on Thursday is ridiculous, right? It's a really, really good round. He only made one bogey. The wind was howling. I mean, Matt Wallace, who shared the lead, said he had a 5-iron from 155 that still came up short. That's Matt Wallace. I mean, he's not necessarily a bomber, but that is howling wind. So if it's a little wet this weekend, the wind settles down, I think there'll be more scores out there. And this thing's going to be up to Robert, up to Bob here to decide what happens.
Up to old Bobby Streb. His closest chaser, Camilo Villegas, two shots back, opened with 64, 66. Kyle, I'll speak for myself, but I think I can speak for everybody. I mean, this is the guy I want to win. I mean, here is a guy who we know lost his daughter, less than 2 years old, in July to cancer. I mean, I can't imagine what the guy's going through trying to refocus on playing golf and now right in the hunt on a Friday in a PGA Tour event.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. You know, and he's had – he hadn't had that many starts this year, or really even over the last few years. He's kind of bounced around a little bit. He's really, like, if you look at his career, it's pretty good, you know. But yeah, I mean, just the wake of something like that, and you know, part of you is like not even really thinking about golf, but then the other part of you is like, it's kind of therapeutic to do your job and to try to be good at it. Mm-hmm. And everything that goes along with that, it'd be a pretty, you know, golf, like winning a golf tournament doesn't mean much in the grand scheme of things with everything that he's gone through. But I think if you pulled anyone associated with the PGA Tour or that covers it, is on it, works for, I mean, whatever, I'd be surprised if you didn't get 100% of people rooting for Camilo Villegas this weekend.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, Greg, I don't even know what his status is. I mean, he's the 866th ranked player in the world. He's been playing a lot on the Korn Ferry Tour in the 2020 calendar year. He's played a bit on the PGA Tour here recently. I do think Kyle brings up an interesting point. We've actually heard other athletes say this at times, right, when they're dealing with a loss of a family member or a loved one, you know, playing a football game, playing a baseball game, the 3 hours you're kind of removed from thinking about what's going on in your life, almost an opportunity to get away from it for a few hours. Some athletes have found a bit of reprieve in that.
You know, it's one thing this is my opinion anyway. Many of the team sports, like a football game, like a basketball or hockey game, they distract you because there's constant action and it's constantly moving, and they're reactionary sports, and they're emotional sports in a much different way than the game of golf. The game of golf has so much time in between shots, and you're so up close and personal to your playing partners. You know, this year is obviously different, but but spectators, media members, they're much closer to the to you in the game of golf, and there's much more time. So I wonder how challenging it is for him to focus. And I know he referenced yesterday he saw, you know, it's something as simple, he sees a rainbow and he says, okay, and he immediately thinks of his daughter Mia. This is a really difficult one to kind of discuss. You can't imagine. Well, I mean, this is literally your worst nightmare. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine what he's gone through, and I can't believe he's able to stand up there and compete. So I guess you're right, Rick. I guess he really is finding reprieve in that, but I don't think that it's easy. But I'll tell you what, if he closes the deal this weekend, which I'm obviously rooting for, if he does that, the emotion that we see is going to be, well, I would imagine there's going to be quite a bit of understandable emotion going on there.
We can put a bow on Villegas with his rounds of golf. So I kind of alluded to this a couple of minutes ago, KP, since however you want to slice it, since the start of the restart, since the start of the 2020 calendar year, he hasn't played a lot, but he has been statistically like the worst putter on the PGA Tour. He goes out, he gains 3.7 strokes putting in round one. That's the lasered course. That's the seaside course. Obviously don't have his numbers, but he made 29. It took him 29 putts around the plantation course on Friday. The rest of his game has been strong, right? You brought this up a couple of weeks ago. I think he was like your sleeper or something like that, where you were like, he's ball striking the hell out of it. He just can't putt.
Yeah, that was right. I think he was right around Sanderson and, the Vegas event.
Yeah.
When it was like, you look at his numbers, you're like, wait a second. He's like, if you go to Data Golf and sort by tee to green, he's been really good. Mm-hmm. And it's a little, I guess, Hideki-ish or Ben Onish even, of where you're like, if he putts at all, like he can legitimately contend. So, it'll probably come down to that, just given how well he's been hitting it, not just this week, but over the last few months.
In case you missed it last week, we're giving away a television. That television is 55 inches. It is not a dumb television. It is a very smart television. And here's what you need to know if you want a chance to win. The contest is completely free, which is my favorite type of contest. To win, go to cbssports.com/firstcutgiveaway. That link is in the description of the episode if you're watching on YouTube, as well as in the podcast description on all podcasting platforms. This contest does indeed end on November 23rd, so you have a couple of days left. Looking towards the weekend, gentlemen, Robert Streb is your co-favorite, Greg, at 4.5-1 with Harris English. The aforementioned Camilo Villegas and Patton Kizzire, they're both 10-1. Zach Johnson lurking at 12-1. Kevin Kisner at 18. We were trying to put some scenarios together before we went hot on who's still in this thing. Where have we kind of left it at this point?
It feels like a small number. You just start doing some math. And let's say you take the four players that are at 11 under or better. So you have Streb, you have Camilo, you have Bronson Burgoon, and Patton Kizzire. They have, with the exception of Bronson, they've all won on the PGA Tour before. So you take those four guys and look, if the lead's at 14 under, if he goes out and shoots, four under tomorrow, shoots 66 tomorrow, he gets to 18. It starts to eliminate players, as I said. So what do you do if you're at, if you're sitting at seven under, like a Keith Mitchell, a Joel Damon, a Charles Howell III, you're somebody like that, you're in tied 11th. Typically you'd say, well, I'm right there in the mix, yet you're seven shots back. And all it takes is a solid round from one of those four players, and you just feel like you are eliminated. So you're going to have to go out there and shoot likely a 63. I think you probably have to get to 12, somewhere between 12 and 14 under tomorrow. If you're in that 7, 6, geez, five, I mean, the five unders are in real trouble, but you're going to have to get somewhere around that 12 to 14 under number, I think, to have a chance going into Sunday, because these guys are going to, somebody, one of those four players is going to shoot a good round. One of those four players is going to get 3, 4 under par, maybe 5 under par tomorrow. And all of a sudden it can become a real stretch.
I would not have known this if I didn't just look this up 15 seconds ago, Kyle. Do you have any idea the last time Harris English has won a golf tournament? I know you love a good trivia question.
I want to say, was it Mayakoba?
Okay. Yeah, it was actually. Good job. 2013.
I think it was I was going to say 2013.
Yeah, 2013 Mayakoba. He won twice that year. So he won Mayakoba and he won the FedEx St. Jude Classic. He has not won since then. He is very clearly the class of, I don't know, the guys who are within striking distance here. We've been talking about him all year long, how great he's been, how awesome his strokes gain numbers have been. He runs into a buzzsaw named Dustin Johnson at the Northern Trust. It would almost be fitting for him to finally get a win now 7 years since his last.
He's part of that Sea Island Mafia too, isn't he?
Yeah. And he, yep. And he hasn't played well at this event like ever.
Who was the guy that won it? Did Hudson Swafford win the American Express in Palm Springs
a couple years ago?
I think I get those two. That was where my mind first went. I think I get them mixed up. They seem like the same guy to me. Yeah, he's definitely, you know, and he's cooled off a little bit. He was the guy around the U.S. Open, even at the U.S. Open, that you're like, oh, he's been awesome. And like kind of quietly awesome. Like if you were only casually paying attention, you're like, Harris English, like, didn't I hear about him 7 years ago or whatever? But if you're paying attention, you kind of knew that he was hitting the ball really well. I think that honestly, like because of how many seven unders there are, I think those guys are kind of still in it just because one of them's going to go out and shoot 64, right? Like maybe not, but it seems like because of how many there are at seven or better,
yeah,
that there's got to be a 63, 64, 65 in there somewhere. And then if Streb backs up, I think most of those guys are still in it. But yeah, English and honestly, Wiesberger, maybe I'm just saying him because he was my sleeper for Augusta and he didn't play great. But those are the two that kind of pop out to me.
Burns Wiesberger 28-1. Thanks to our friends over at William Hill. If you're interested in that, Harris English ranked seventh on tour in strokes gained total last season, seventh top 10 player. Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. While we're talking about guys that I get confused with, for the longest time until about a year ago, I confused Robert Streb and Chris Stroud. I could not figure this out. Yeah,
that's a great one.
Yeah.
I get, Brendan Steele and Kevin Streelman.
Oh, Kevin Streelman always wears.
Brendan Steele and Brendan Todd to me. Those two get me. They're both tall.
We're professional golf media people.
This ain't no hobby. We do this for a living. Gentlemen, we have to talk about a golfing Woods and not necessarily Tiger. And then I want to follow up on a story that we talked about earlier in the week. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back. Charlie Woods making his televised golfing debut, right? That's fair to say, because Tiger and his 11-year-old son, Charlie, are going to compete in the PNC Championship. Greg, this is the event where, you know, you get the father and son or the daughter and father. I have the field here. We can talk about it in a second, but we are going to see a glimpse of Charlie Woods' swing, which I think I've only seen like twice on Instagram maybe, and it was chef's kiss pure. We're going to see it on television.
It's really good. I mean, he's got everything in his favor, right? He's got a great caddy, great coach. He's got all the tools. He's got a great swing. It's really fun to watch, because I'm with you, Rick. I've seen it a couple times on Instagram. I saw the most recent one there. Charlie came out to Medalist a couple times when I was there, but he was still, I mean, he was like seven when I was there. So he wasn't really, he's developed a lot. He's a lot bigger, of course. And it's fun to watch. It's going to be really interesting to watch him play, because you're watching him with Tiger, who's such a different Tiger. I mean, I think it back to 2013 when Harris English is winning at Mayakoba. Tiger Woods is not playing in the PNC, father. So like, Tiger's not playing in anything that isn't a big time serious event. Tiger's not showing us anything about who he is as a person. He's not letting us in at all. And we're seeing a completely different Tiger Woods. We're seeing a Tiger. He's a father now, and he's starting to realize what, you know, the relationship between he and his father, how much it meant to him, and giving that to his kids, which is really cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing that side of Tiger. And Charlie's going to be fun to watch, but I don't know how much you're really going to get out of that, other than he has a great swing.
As fun as it's going to be, KP, I feel like this is going to start a new era, right? This is going to start the fervor on Twitter of like, okay, now we're going to track Charlie's career or whatever, right? And it's so, I mean, I can't even imagine the expectations on, and we see this too, like LeBron James's children, right? Like we see the same thing, the expectations. The kid's 11 years old. Let's just have some fun, right? Like, well, he doesn't have to play golf ever if he doesn't want to. Like, I don't know. I don't know where my brain's at with all this.
Yeah, it's crazy, that, Greg, that Tiger's a father. I was under the presumption that only Rory McIlroy was a father. On
right.
That's kind of how I thought things were going. I'm already like just grossed out by it, because you know it's going to be like 100 blog posts. You won't believe what Charlie Woods did on the first hole. I'm like, I probably will. Like, I'm pretty sure I will. And people are like, oh well, Tiger was in the spotlight since he was two, and you're like, well, yeah, that's such a different landscape. Like, that's not the Twitter, Instagram world that we live in. And I don't know. It's going to be. It's going to feel weird, but it'll also be cool. Like, I don't know. Can it be both things?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, no matter what, whether Charlie decided, if Charlie didn't play golf and he was a soccer player or a chess player or just a student and he didn't do anything else, he would still, his life, there's nothing about his life that's going to be what we would call normal, right? Yeah. There's nothing normal about it, no matter what. So there's also a difference, because it's not really that much pressure for him. It's not like he's expected to become the next Tiger Woods. It's almost known that he's not going to become what his father was. And I think everybody understands that. So my hope is that the expectations aren't too high and we say, oh, this is really cool. Look, oh, here's another, we kind of, warm-heartedly say, oh, here's another Woods coming to dominate the game of golf, without putting any real expectations of a prodigy like we did with Tiger. I don't expect that to happen. It shouldn't. If it does, I think it's a mistake. but we'll see where it goes. So I do think it can be fun and a little strange at the same time. But look, this kid, there's nothing normal about his life, no matter what he does.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think Tiger's also done a good job of not rolling him out there, like at a young age.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, think like who could have used really good PR with like playing with their son over the last years? Like Tiger Woods could have at times.
Yeah.
And he's done a, I think, great job of just letting him live his life, you know? And I will say it's kind of sick that he makes him play blades instead of the cavity back iron. Did you see this?
No, yes. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I would bet Charlie wanted to hit those.
Can you imagine if Justin Thomas told his dad he had to play blades in the PNC? Oh,
that's pretty neat. I mean, this reminds me of when I'm like, when I feel sick, when, you know, some college offers a 12-year-old a scholarship, right? Or like a sixth grader a scholarship. And I'm like, this is bad. I don't like this. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, I'm watching, like, you know, I'm tuning in for this. here's the rest of the field, or just at least some notable. So you mentioned Justin Thomas. So Justin Thomas and his father in the field, Annika Sorenstam and her father, Vijay Singh and his son. You're going to get the Daly's, John Daly and little John, David Duvall and his son, Jim Furyk and his son. I mean, it's a pretty, Matt Kuchar's here, his son. Like, it's going to be a lot of fun, Greg.
I would watch out for the Dailies. Little John's really good.
Are you gonna check the betting odds on this field?
No, that would be the most. I'm not going that low, Rick. Come on, these are children. There's no betting on children.
Okay. Do you think Vijay's son just grinds on the range all day?
Do you think he?
They don't play together. They just practice together.
Yeah, all the other they just train together.
Yeah. I heard a story about Vijay, and somebody went to TPC Sawgrass, and this was a couple of years ago, and they were like, Vijay, do you want to play? And he had been there forever. So come on, come play with us. And he looked at him with this face like, I can't believe you're asking me. He said, why? Maybe the question was, do you ever play? He said, why would I play when I could just hit balls all day? Now, so that's Vijay. So my guess is his son's a practicer.
That's incredible.
I love it. 5 days ago, gentlemen. So I want to follow up on a story we talked about 4 days ago, but 5 days ago in Butler Cabin, Andy Ogletree said, yeah, I think I'll be turning pro at some date in the future. That date in the future right now. Because he has turned pro and he has signed an endorsement deal with Titleist. Kyle, we were kind of just jiving on this little the childhood letter that he posted to Twitter, right? That he writes, I don't know how many years ago, but growing up, he wants to play golf. He wants to play with Tiger Woods. He likes Sergio Garcia and Camilo Vijay. Like, it's just like the culmination of such an awesome story. Now he's going to be a professional.
Yeah, he's yeah, the childhood letter, I don't know if people saw it, it's pretty hilarious. There's some interesting phrasing. He was, how old was he, like 11?
So nine? It was in
2008.
12, or yeah, 20, so it was 12 years ago. So how old is he now? Well, I can find out.
Yeah, so
he's like 22. He was probably 10. I think he was 10.
11. How many wins did Harris English have in 2008?
Yeah.
At Georgia? Or?
So... I followed him. We might have talked about this briefly last week, but I followed him with Tiger's group a little bit at Augusta, and he hits the crap out of it. Because you look at him, and you're like, I don't know. You know, he's kind of skinny, kind of glasses. You're just like, you know, he looks fine, and he hits the hell out of it. And you know, I think that. Sometimes we overrate some of these awards for amateurs and different things in the amateur game. I think low aim at the Masters is actually a really like meaningful thing. Because you think about how many AMs have the opportunity to get in and then to kind of contend in that small, I don't know. It's super impressive to me. The last 10 years, you got low AMs, Matteo Manassero, Hideki, Cantlay, Guan Tianlong, Oliver Goss,
Bryson.
Did you say Bryson? Yeah.
Bryson, Stuart Hagestad, Doug Gim, Victor Hovland, Andy Ogletree. So I think that the pedigree is awesome, right? Like it's winning Pinehurst, low-am at the Masters. I would be surprised if he didn't have, I don't know, a pretty successful pro career.
He was 10 at the time he wrote that letter. Here, Greg, he reached number four in the world amateur golf rankings. We talked before that he's a two-time All-American at Georgia Tech. We don't know when he'll make that pro debut, but he's going to get a maximum of those seven sponsors exemptions. That's something we've talked about a couple of times with guys trying to get that status. And he's one of maybe how many golfers wear glasses? Bill Haas? Dylan Fratelli? But Fratelli wears the Oakleys.
Fratellis are like sunglasses. They're at least a sunglass frame. So, man, there's not many. He's a rare glasses. In a rare class. I'd have to do a little more looking into that, but there's not many.
David Sunglasses
all the time. Stenson sunglasses all. There's a lot more sunglasses.
Zach Johnson.
Tom Kite. Producer Jacob says Tom Kite back in the day.
yeah,
that's pretty good. But this kid's obviously, Greg, bright future ahead. I mean, the pedigree that Kyle was kind of listing out, or the peers, is a top notch list.
Yeah, we'll see how this goes for him. I'm not expecting. I saw him play in the USAM. It was great. He's a great player, and I expect he'll be a PGA Tour player. But is he going to be a get your card without going through the Korn Ferry Tour? I'm not sure. I don't believe so. I think he's going to use his seven sponsor exemptions. And I think he'll end up in Korn Ferry Tour, maybe Q School. Maybe he'll get an exemption to the Korn Ferry Tour. I think you're going to see him playing out there next year and may potentially earn his card. He's definitely somebody that I'll be watching, but I don't know if he's ready to go get his PGA Tour card in those seven starts. That's a very small list. I don't know if he's in that list.
I think that's probably right. I mean, it's pretty special.
All-star list.
I mean, it's Rahm, Bryson, Spieth. Like, it's a very special thing. And while I think he's probably going to be a good pro, for most normal pros even, as special as that category is, there's still a learning curve. So, I agree with Greg.
That's why it's called a developmental tour for a reason, right? You go develop your game. Justin Thomas went to that tour. And it's, I don't know, Kyle, do you think it's worked out for him?
I mean, 25 wins in the next decade. It's already in the bag. So
he's going to be like a 40-time winner on the PGA Tour at least.
I need producer Jacob to amend the audio there. I meant 15, not 25.
Oh, we know. We'll know. We'll remember. Real quick hitter on the way out. Kevin Stadler got DQ'd today for signing the wrong scorecard. When are we doing away with paper scorecards? Right? Like, this has got to go.
Was there any fear over DJ and Austin Johnson? Like, not like there's a lot going on into the Masters. You're doing a lot of math.
Adding.
No, see, you don't have to add. You signing a correct scorecard doesn't mean you have to get the total score right. You have to get the number in each box right, okay. Which is, you know, it is as I say this, that's the way the rule is. And I'm a fan of rules. You got to have rules. I think it's important, but you have to get the right number in the right box when you have multiple volunteers on every hole, keeping track of not just the score you made, but to the 10th of a yard, how far you are from the hole. So it's just it's a very bizarre thing that the amount of money that these guys are playing for, they can be kicked out of an event. They can go home with a zero because they wrote a three they wrote a three in one box, a four in another box, and it needed to be reversed.
I mean, imagine that happening in the NBA. LeBron's like, I don't know what the score is. And you're like, well, you lose.
lose and you're out of the playoffs now. Aren't there – I know they're volunteers and they're usually like kids that walk with them with like the score. And I know that's just for fans, but like, can't we just get like two guys to walk with the group and keep track of everybody's score? Well, I don't get it.
Well, the problem is like the bifurcation thing again, right? Like even in like on professional tours, you're not going to have the number of volunteers at even a Korn Ferry event, much less like a challenge tour event.
Yeah.
But does it have to be, if you do it on the PGA Tour, does it have to be done on the Korn Ferry Tour event and the PGA, the McKenzie Tour? Does it have to be all the way down the line? Can it? That's one thing that can be, it's not that big of a difference, right? You play a Korn Ferry Tour. You're keeping your score today. You got to make sure you keep your score accurately today.
Yeah. It's just, I think it's hard because everything's just adjudicated by the same governing body. Like the PGA Tour adjudicates all these tours nearly.
Right.
And so it just gets, I don't know. I like what we've seen with golf. If there's a reason to not do something, people will take it.
And also maybe it doesn't matter because it's like three times a year someone does this. Cameron Tringali's done it like twice in the last 3 years, but that's about it. Like maybe it doesn't matter. Just sign the scorecard. Sign your correct scorecard, I guess.
Yeah, that's the other side of the argument. It's not that hard to get right. Right. It's not that hard.
Even Kevin Na got like his 15 right.
It
just seems like the punishment doesn't fit the
crime. That maybe
the punishment doesn't fit the crime, right?
You're giving like a two shot
out of the event because you, yeah. I mean, we can get this. We can figure this out. We can make it right.
We're gonna get Bryson out there.
He has to do this for everybody, though. all right, gentlemen, that's it. We're coming back Sunday to break down the RSM Classic. Maybe it's Bob Strepp. Maybe it's Camilo Vijegas. Maybe it's Bernd Wiesberger. Who knows? Golf's weird. Who knows? For now, let me thank Greg Ducharme, who you can find on Twitter at TheRealGFD. Let me thank Kyle Porter, who you can find at KylePorterCBS. Producer Jacob behind the glass. You can find me at Rick Rungood. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.